Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Good afternoon and welcome to Iceman Insights, starring the one and only, the hockey man around town, Michael Shockley, webmaster, senior writer, Iceman at Maniacs.com, and the Dirty D, live here in studio. How you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm a little tired. Played a little floor hockey last night. To be honest, I'm a lot tired. I feel like Reggie Dunlop near the end of that season for the, what team did he play for?
Chiefs.
Yes, the Charlestown Chiefs.
I was like, yeah. What was the word on the front of the jerseys?
Yeah. Drawing a blank. That's what I feel like. Some days you just feel like Reggie Dunlop.
Well, when in doubt, put on the foil.
Indeed. Good things Indeed. Happen. So, speaking of putting on the foil, another rough road trip for our beloved Icemen as we officially no longer have a tragic number. We are just a tragedy.
It's zero. Yeah, the tragic number is now negative.
And just to set you up before we're getting in there, Saturday night's game near the end, Terry Ficarelli said, opposing teams' power plays 9-for-19 in their last few games. So that just...
That's rough.
Yeah, and I think it was Ben on the Iceman Maniacs or Maniacs Asylum that said, and the bright side, we only gave up 5 goals this game.
Yeah.
So that's the status of this team. Take it away.
Yeah. That remember that 5-1 hot streak we had earlier in February?
Barely.
Boy, that seems like a different memory now, doesn't it?
Makes you wonder how we even did that.
Yeah. Yeah. We went from a 5-1 stretch to 4 consecutive ugly losses. And yes, we are now mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, the first team in the ECHL to be so.
Oh, because you can have 7 wins on the season and still be in it in the West.
Yeah, because 8 of the 9 teams in the West qualify. Bakersfield, even though we have a better record than them, is still alive. I don't think they're going to make it, but they are still mathematically alive at this point. So, yeah, we are.
At least we're the first in something.
Yeah, that's it. There we go. We are first to be eliminated, but... I still think we're probably going to end up with a better record than Bakersfield, but it's going to be close because the Icemen, as they are currently constituted, I don't know that there's going to be very many more victories this season. So, yeah, about 3 weeks and 10 games left, and the playoff race is officially over. But now you get to play spoiler and play for pride and play for jobs, and there's still stuff to play for. Just you know.
Still hockey.
Yeah, exactly. And officially being eliminated basically just makes it, on paper, it's official what we've known for a while now.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And what I knew since before the season even started, as predicted here.
Very good,
on the Amusement
Karnak.
Park Radio.
Yeah, that was. That's true. A lot of people predicted playoffs. I said I thought we could be a low-end playoff team. I didn't think we would win win a series, but... I said we would be a low-end playoff team, best-case scenario, if we were healthy and had good chemistry. And obviously neither of those things happened this season. So I feel like I was not wrong.
What?
I wasn't wrong.
You predicted 30 wins.
I said if we had health and chemistry.
Oh, well, it's nice to put conditions on everything.
Well,
I'd be a great-looking man if this and this and this.
Yeah, that's very true. So what are those this and this and this?
I don't know.
Does
probably need
have
to
have a list for you.
No, don't get me started on my wife. You ever played like the top 5 list or the top 10, like of all the actresses or
passes.
Actors in the world?
Yeah.
You know who are your top? Julia Stiles. She is the one for me.
Julia Stiles.
Yes, followed very closely by Gabrielle Union. If
Ooh.
You know, yeah. Oh man, you couldn't. But my wife's top 5 list. Is hideous.
Really?
It is like John Malkovich, and
Ooh.
Just if there's an ugly actor out there, my wife finds him attractive.
Is she one of those John Cusack lovers?
No.
She doesn't like John
Cusack? She likes the movies, but not in, like, the top five, he's a hunk kind of thing.
Gotcha.
And so I look at her top five, and I think, I must be god-awful ugly if I'm in the running with John Malkovich.
Maybe because of you, she has just resorted to having very low goals.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So, back to your prediction on the Iceman and my symbolism, yes.
Wow.
If I was 6'3" and 210 pounds and ripped and had abs of steel, I would be good looking. Therefore, my prediction is correct.
Yeah.
So anyways, talk about
this. I'm glad you see my point.
Yeah, talk about this crappy weekend.
So Friday, the Iceman went up to Kalamazoo, lost 6-3. In all three periods, the Iceman scored first and then gave up two goals. Nathan Moon had two goals.
Moon!
Patrick Kennedy had a goal. Todd Robinson, despite losing by three goals, was plus two.
How does that happen?
Give him credit where it's due.
What's more bizarre, him being plus two in a losing effort or us winning 5-1 to start this month before it all falls apart?
The way this season's gone, I'd say Todd being plus two. In that game, Matt Krug did return, and he had a very Matt Krug-style game. He had the three minors and a fight. He's now up to 5 points and is minus three in 16 games, but he is at 78 penalty minutes in 16 games. He's averaging almost five per game. And while I like a lot of what he brings to the table, I was really high on him after the first game he played here. But at this point, I'm starting to sour on him just because he can't stay out of the box.
Yeah.
And this team has enough discipline problems as is. I don't know that that's the kind of guy that you need to keep around because we can't kill penalties, as you said, 9-for-19. And, we've had a laundry list of players, it seems like, that have trouble staying out of the box. And
I want to talk to Patafi about this. I meant to talk to him last week, and I didn't get to it. We ran out of time because he was too busy making fun of me. But I'm wondering this year in the ECHL, because you see the jump. Matt Jens, what did he have, like 20 penalty minutes last year, and he jumped up to 78 or 80. And I really think that these guys had to announce their presence with authority, to use the old Bull Durham term. I think they really had to. No one's going to give you respect in any league until you show them that you're not afraid to back down. And I think that's what a lot of this is this year. We've had players that have had discipline issues, but we've never had a team. And I think that there's something about joining this league that these guys, they're starting to get pushed around. I'm sure there was cheap shots behind the play that nobody saw. And they just had to fire back and say, we're not going to take any of that. And I think that's part of the development. But well, I'm going to ask Patafi about that.
I do think there is certainly a perceived slight of the CHL by the ECHL. I think the ECHL kind of thinks the CHL is a step below, even though the CHL says they're AA hockey just like the ECHL does. I think there might be, a bit of a problem there. The ECHL players look at this team coming over from the CHL that's loaded with CHL players. I mean, we didn't really have much in the way of ECHL guys on our team. And perhaps, yeah, there is a bit of that there. And our guys figure, well, it's an expansion year. It's going to be tough. So if we can't beat them, we'll beat them up.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's that would be an interesting thing to talk to Patafi about. So jot that down.
Yeah, right.
Make a mental
I already
note.
Forgot what we were talking
Make
about.
Make a mental note in your Etch-A-Sketch brain. Just don't shake your head. Oh, no.
It's gone.
That was Friday's loss. Then Saturday went to Cincinnati and lost 5-2. Actually, it was tied 1-1, and then we gave up three unanswered goals, and that was pretty much that. Dylan Clark did have both of our goals. And the loss, as mentioned, officially eliminated the Iceman from playoff contention. The tragic number did finally hit zero. In that game, we played with just 13 skaters, including 7 forwards. And it was the 8th straight game we've played shorthanded. Tap of the stick to Pam Massey on the Asylum, the Maniac Asylum on Facebook. She said, on the plus side, we don't have enough men left to have too many men on the ice, which has been a problem this year. But this just kind of brings up the topic in general of playing shorthanded. We've played 8 games in a row now with less than a full lineup. And I know there have got to be difficulties in getting players to come here. You're last place. You have no chance at the playoffs. So it's not exactly an easy sell to get guys to come here for a month at the end of the season when you're hard up for players. But
I can't. I really? You think that? I can understand getting top-ranked talent, but I can't understand. There's got to be – how many teams are out of playoff contention in the CHL? And that guys would come over here and make $500.
Actually, I think they only have 9 or 10 teams, and 8 of them make the playoffs. So there's not – there's not a whole lot of sellers over there that are out of it. But I do think there could be a market for bringing guys up from either the Southern Pro League or the Federal League. But at the same time, I can understand to an extent guys at that level not wanting to come to a last-place team. When they look at a guy like Todd Robinson and see that he's minus 30-something, you know, they may look at this team and say, yeah, that's an opportunity. Yeah, I might get paid more. But if I go up there for 10 games, and I end up with one assist and I'm minus 9, people might look at that and I'll never get another chance at that level.
I disagree with you.
You think?
Yeah, because what is a Federal League guy getting a week? $125?
Probably SPHL? Probably not even that.
Yeah. The old Iceman days, a lot of those guys made $50 that first year back in the old AHA days. And same with the Southern Pro. And here's an opportunity to make $400. And escape for a month and play in the Ford Center and be coached by Rich Crom, I think there's got to be tons of guys that are willing to come over and play. Now, they're not top-level talent, but I definitely think we need to fill out this roster. I think I don't understand being shorthanded for this long. And, again, I think it was it Ben or Jacob in the Maniacs Asylum that brought the point up about us being shorthanded every week. But I think it's a lousy job by the organization. I think it's dangerous. I think the guys that are playing are going to get worn down. I think it increases the potential for really bad injuries. And to me, it just looks like they're trying to save a few bucks. You know, $400 on this guy and $350 on this guy, they're going to save $750 a week instead of putting out a full roster on the bench. And to me, we're in the ECHL. We are part of the NHL family, and I think it looks really bush league on us. And my only frustration of the whole season. I can handle coming in last place because I looked at the talent and didn't think we matched up with the ECHL teams way back in the beginning. But this is just bad. I feel bad for the Todd Robinsons and the Phil Plants going out there and playing the kind of minutes they have to play because this organization won't pay $1,000 a week to put 3 more bodies on the bench.
Yeah, I think this is 3 or 4 games in a row where we had less than 3 full forward lines. So you've got Todd and Dale keep rotating at center, and instead of playing 20 minutes a game, you're playing 30 minutes a game. And that is a quick way to get a guy hurt, too.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm not saying that Crom or anyone in the office wants someone to get hurt, but that's just a product of what happens when you're playing shorthanded, especially game after game after game, because guys aren't used to playing that much and they're playing with different players. You know, rather than playing the same 2 wingers all game, you're rotating wingers, so you're less familiar with your line mates, and you may take shortcuts here and there just because you're playing so much. And when you take shortcuts and you don't play your normal style of game, that's when injuries happen.
Yep. There was some people that were frustrated with Kevin Baker, R2-D2.
Yes.
Leaving the team. And now, I have a problem with fans complaining about a 35-year-old veteran looking to extend potentially the last days of his career. Now that's separate. If the Iceman players and staff are upset with what he did leaving the team, same with Jesse Perrin, that's a totally different thing because that's a locker room thing. But as fans, could you really do that? You're looking at this team that won't spend enough money to keep 16 healthy skaters on the ice. And then there are stories, reports that last week when they lost to Toledo and had to drive through the night Saturday night to Sunday morning to play against Cincy, they didn't have a sleeper bus. So they're in an upright bus making a 7-hour trip back from Toledo so that they can skate the next day. And it's just bush league. And you got an opportunity to go to the CHL, make a few more bucks, and play for a championship? Or are you going to stay with this club that obviously cares very little about the concerns and health of the players that are playing, that you're going to make them sleep in an upright bus with an undermanned club, and you think someone's going to stick around for that? I have no problem with Kevin Baker taking off.
and I don't know firsthand any of that. I don't know why we're playing shorthanded. I don't know about the travel situation. But if that type of stuff is true, word gets around, too. And yep. That makes it harder to recruit players in the future. So whether or not it's true, if you take shortcuts, if any team takes shortcuts like that financially, then word gets around, players talk. And you're not only hurting yourself in the current time, you're also hurting yourself in the future because it makes recruiting much more difficult. Because in a league like this, when there's not that big of a difference in money from team to team, if there are peripherals like that that are a big difference from one team to the next, then that's what players are going to use as a decision-making tiebreaker as far as where they want to play.
I've got it on good sources about the bus thing. As far as why we are undermanned every night here at the end of the season, that I don't know. But I just can't understand Rich Kromm going to management saying, you know what, I'm good with the 13 guys I have.
Yeah,
I don't understand any coach ever saying that. Yeah. So, and maybe he did. I do not know. But it does not make any sense to me at all other than trying to save a couple of dollars.
So to be clear, when you're talking about the Iceman office doing this, you're thinking Kromm wants a full roster. Elsewhere within the office that is vetoing.
Yeah. If anyone, let me clarify, I am 100% Kromm supporter. I think he is one of the greatest coaches at this level in both leagues, CHL and ECHL. I can maybe come up with two or three coaches that I would put at the same level as Kromm. But you just look at this Iceman organization that here we have a situation where they're trying to get next year, they're selling season tickets for next year, and they're putting a subpar team on the ice just because they want to save a few bucks. From my perspective, you have an NHL experienced coach in Rich Kromm, and you can't give him an assistant coach? You can't give him a goalie coach? It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah, and talking about the attendance, too, if they've got this drive now for selling season tickets for next season, and they're talking about wanting to get big crowds for these last four home games, which are Fridays and Saturdays, so you should be able to.
But March Madness is coming up,
that might hurt a little bit. But when you have these prime opportunities to bring in big crowds and impress people and sell season tickets, what happens if you have 7,000 people in the building, but then the team goes out there three skaters short of a full lineup and loses 7-2?
Yeah.
Are you really gaining anything, or are you losing something? You cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's an interesting topic. I wish we knew more for sure about what's going on behind the scenes and why we're skating shorthanded, because I don't totally feel comfortable speculating one way or the other.
But I do.
Well, then, yeah, obviously, I think we've proven that. So it's really interesting, and there are, like we've said before with players in general, there are a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that we just don't know. And I think perhaps we would have a better understanding of what's going on if we knew all the details that are going on behind the scenes, but we're just not going to. We're not privy to that information. So all we're left to do is speculate. And regardless of what you speculate about, the bottom line is it's not cool that we're skating with 13 skaters. For whatever the reason is, you're right. It just does not look good from the outside. So hopefully something will change. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we get a few more additions to where we at least have somewhat close to a full lineup.
Well, we did pick up one more guy, right? I guess that's coming up here.
I think there's a few more coming probably this week, too. So we'll see. But yeah, it certainly does not look good, and I hope that we have played our last game with only 13 skaters, because that is pretty ridiculous.
Well, we got tonight, though, so
yeah,
that's going to be another undermanned game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be undermanned. We'll see how undermanned.
Transactions and injury reports as we move to the downstairs of the Wired Coffee House building.
Step.
I think we need a old-time radio.
We need our live studio audience to chip in with some percussion.
The Shocker 7000 that has been computing feverishly.
I thought it was the Shockinator.
Oh, was it the Shockinator? I don't write any of it. Remember Etch-A-Sketch Brain?
Yeah, Etch-A-Sketch Brain.
Yeah, no doubt. It's lucky I can get home at night. That's going to go to a whole other different thing that we don't need to be discussing over the airways. But anyways, man games lost to injury this year are now at
363.
Maybe that's why the Iceman organization isn't bringing in any more players.
Nobody wants to come here and get hurt.
Well, I'm thinking maybe they want to avoid the 400 mark. So.
Well, that's possible. But
so what's the number again?
363.
Oh my gosh.
Through 62 games. We currently have 6 players hurt. We are up to now 54 different players have dressed. And we have had 32 different call-ups among 17 separate players.
We have got to be closing in on the number of all-time players to wear a uniform in a season.
It's closing in on
that first season aha season.
It's ridiculous at this point. And as much as the injuries have hurt us, the call-ups really have too. I went through and looked at the AHL rosters in Peoria, Springfield, and Charlotte because of Rob Medor. There are currently 16 players in the AHL who played here earlier this season.
That's awesome.
That's a whole team. And including in those 16, there's 4 goalies.
Yep.
So that explains part of our goaltending problems. And we've got 4 AHL-level goalies who aren't here right now.
We have seen some good players play this season.
Just generally not for long.
Yeah.
Either they get hurt or they get called up.
Yep. Or both.
Or both. So going on our transaction report back to last Wednesday, that was the D-Day for goalies. Paul Karpowicz... Yes. was recalled by Peoria in the morning, and then not 12 hours later, Paul Dayton was recalled by Springfield in the afternoon. The Blues called Karpowicz up because, or the Rivermen called Karpowicz up because the Blues called Jake Allen up from Peoria again. Yaroslav Halak and Brian Elliott are both still healthy, but they're struggling. So they're basically looking for Jake to be a spark to get things going and right that ship. Meanwhile, in Springfield, Alan York sustained another lower body injury. We haven't been told what it is, but odds are it's probably another groin injury.
Oh, gosh.
The poor guy.
Glad you didn't use the V word again.
No. No, it's not that. It's another groin injury, I would imagine. So no telling how long York is going to be out, but I wouldn't be surprised if Dayton's up there for a while, because with York's injury history, they might play it safe and sit him out for a while at this point. We'll see.
My friend Aaron in Clifton, Illinois, loves it when you say groin tweak.
Groin tweak?
Yeah, or a tweaked groin.
Or a groin yep. fell off. That's really bad when it completely
yes.
falls off. Both of our goalies did actually play over the weekend. Dayton played and lost 4-1 at Albany on Saturday. He made 18 saves on 22 shots. And then Karpowicz made his first ever AHL start on Sunday.
Against my beloved Toronto Marlies.
Against the Marlies, and he lost 4-1 as well.
Perfect. That's a win-win situation for me.
Yeah, he made 26 saves on 30 shots. So, good for him. At least he got his first start in. I'm sure he would have rather had it be a win, but every little bit of experience and another milestone checked off the list. Moving forward with our transactions, on Thursday, the 7th, the Icemen signed a rookie defenseman named Dustin Hoepfner. Either Hoepfner or Hoepfner, I'm not sure. He actually made his pro debut with the team. He played 2 years in the North American Hockey League, which is Tier 2 juniors. And then he
American juniors.
Yes, American juniors. And then he played 2 years in the ACHA Division 1, which is club hockey in college.
Yep.
Which is not super high level.
Nope. But that's what, going back, if they're signing guys like this, there are guys that want to come here
that's
and play.
True, yeah. He did have 41 points in 41 games last year. So at least he has some offensive skill. It just remains to be seen how that translates to this high of a level, because that's quite a jump, Division I club to high double A professional.
That's not going to translate. He is not going to be a point per game player in the next 10 games.
No, he's not going to be a point per game player. He does have 1 point, though, so far. So he's off to a good start.
Yep.
We'll say that. He was idle this year. He had not been playing. So I'm not sure what...
That's okay.
What the heck happened there?
That was, I guess, my Skype's on with my... computer.
Are we still recording?
Oh, yeah. Not sure if we recorded that or not.
Was that R2-D2?
Yeah. Kevin Baker calling in. Thanking me for having his back.
Yeah, there we go. Wow. Well, now that we're back here on technical difficulties with Derek Benigni. Also on Thursday, the Iceman traded for Orlando goaltender James Reed. It was trade deadline day in the ECHL, so it was their last chance to make a trade to shore up the lineup. Reed was the number three goalie there, and he did not have particularly good stats this season, but he has been battling a high ankle sprain. If you go back to last season, though, in the ECHL in his rookie season, he went 6-2-1 with a .209 goals against and a .910 save percentage for Alaska. And he did earn ECHL Goalie of the Week honors in March. So he's got
bringing some more pucks for the EYHA.
Yeah. He's got some proof that he can play at this level. He also had very good numbers in juniors in the Western Hockey League, which is major junior in Canada.
Canadian juniors. Like to differentiate between Canadian juniors and American juniors. And I love American juniors, but Canadian juniors, that is where most of your first-round draft picks are going to come out of.
Yeah.
They haven't. We talked about it a couple weeks ago with the Indianapolis Ice, John Carlson.
Yeah.
He went first-round pick to Washington Capitals.
Yeah.
So
there's definitely a difference in those levels. But he played 128 games over 3 years in the WHL. He had a record of 85-30-9 with 13 shutouts. He had a .234 goals against and a .917 save percentage.
Remember earlier this year on Iceman Insights, we talked about should Rich Kram think about using a veteran next year that we own completely so that we always have a goaltender that we can trust? And we discussed the pros and cons of that. And we talked about what are the chances that both goaltenders would get recalled in the same week.
Uh-huh.
Remember that at Iceman Insights? And then I guess the other question with that is, isn't it amazing how things that you said that come true, you always remember? But all the crap that you say that doesn't come true, you forget about?
Are you talking to me specifically people in general?
Just me and I'm sure I'm talking about me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure my wife can confirm everything.
We all do have a revisionist memory.
Yes, indeed. I am right all the time, 33% of the time.
Yeah, and 68% of stats are all made up.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that means I'm right 12% of the time?
33 times 0.68, I don't know.
Don't do the math.
I don't know. My brain just broke.
Let's get Steven Habler to figure it out.
I'm sorry, what's his name?
Habler.
What's his real name?
That's his real name, isn't it?
No.
Is it Halber?
Yes.
Did I screw it up? I was actually trying to do that right.
Yes, it's Halber. H-A-L-B-E-R.
Whatever.
Halber. Say it with me now.
For a guy that's so sensitive about switching two consonants around, he really treats referees like they're inhuman. I guess that just seems really difficult.
I have it on good authority that Steve is not a big... he doesn't have much of a problem with the name screw-up. It's Dixie that's not a fan of it.
Mrs. Jack.
Yes. So, Halber.
Halber. Yes. Man, I honestly thought it was Habler. Again. So, anyways, as we cruise into the 30-minute mark here... where are we? Friday?
We're on Friday.
We haven't even caught up yet?
No. We'll move along quickly, though. Quickly. Like
for the first time today.
Yes. We're used to doing things quickly here, right, Derek?
Indeed.
So last Friday, there were no Iceman transactions. On Saturday, Nathan Moon was recalled by Springfield again. After
Moon!
One game for us. He came down, played Friday, and then got called up before Saturday's game. Sunday, there were no Iceman transactions. But, interestingly, elsewhere... Kalamazoo activated Brian Bisek from IR, but then put him on team suspension because, turns out after all, he's going to Arizona, which is where he was traded in the CHL before he went to Kalamazoo, but he refused to report to the Sun Dogs because he didn't want to play that far from home.
That's awesome.
So,
what a great story.
Obviously, there's no hard feelings in hockey because they could very well have said, "Nah, you didn't want to come here, we don't want you anymore." But apparently now he wants to play there and they're willing to take him in, so... Arizona is now turning into Evansville West because they have Brian Bisek, Kevin Baker, Mario LaRocque, and Carl Linden. But that does not lead the CHL in ex-Icemen because Bloomington has five. They have Nicholas Lindbergh, Steve McWay, Sean O'Connor, Pierre Olivier, Peltier, and our former backup who never played this season, Ross McKinnon. So
I was going to say, who's that? I'm like, who's Ross McKinnon?
he does taxes with Steve Habler.
Halber. How many times do I have to tell you, Shocker?
Yeah, I know. Terrible. So, anyway, then moving on Monday, there were no Iceman transactions, and that's all we have as of when we record this. So,
if you need any information on your beloved Evansville Iceman, where do you go? The Courier Press? And the actual Iceman website? And no! The only place to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for all the up-to-date information on your hockey club, IcemanManiacs.com. You can visit the message board. You click on the red graphic with the handicap sign, and that will give you the update of all of our players, our rosters, a 27,000 line item of all the transactions, calls-ups, and sent-downs between the affiliates, and anything else you could possibly need. Any time of day, 24/7, IcemanManiacs.com. I was there today, as a matter of fact, doing a little prep work. Yep.
You prepare for this?
I do prepare for this.
Who knew?
Yeah, you could tell. All right, now, leading into our best segment of the week, because it is 3 minutes of us not talking. Shockers, Hockey Rock Song of the Week.
All right, this coming Saturday is, of course, St. Patrick's Day, so I think it's fitting to feature a little band from Dublin. You might have heard of them. They're called...
Saturday isn't St. Patty's Day.
No, Sunday.
Come on. Man. This is your first error in 20 episodes. I'm highlighting it.
You too. Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. This is a little band from Dublin called U2. Have you ever heard of them?
Who? U2?
Yeah. Believe it or not, this is actually the only U2 song that ever went number one in Ireland, the UK, and on the US mainstream rock chart. You would think they would have had more than one that did that, but this is the only one. It's actually my favorite U2 song. I used to play it at Swanderer during stoppages of play relatively often. And it won a Grammy for Rock Song of the Year back in 1989. This is from 1988 when it came out. U2, Desire.
And we are back here with Iceman Insights, Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com, the Dirty D, joined in studio by one Paul H. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Brand new fan, went out to one game last year. He said, quote, hockey sucks, end quote. Went to one Iceman game, season ticket holder now. So,
and how about loyal that? Listener yes. of this show.
Yes, indeed. So loyal, he had to see it in person.
Yeah.
We will probably never see him again.
Yeah, most people don't come back. Yeah.
Now that he's put the face with the voice.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's why I got a face for radio. But that was conditional why I'm one of the best good-looking guys in the world.
Yeah, he looked like Fabio.
Yes. All right. I don't even know what this means. So the next section is they've got skills.
They've got skills.
Okay.
With a Z.
Oh.
You got to because, you know.
Skills.
Street.
Got it.
It's
happening.
It's 4th Street.
Yes.
Wired Coffee House. See what I did there?
Represent.
Yeah.
Word. Gang sign. This is gang sign. This is a radio gang sign.
Yeah. Don't do that to me.
I don't even know what this means.
I don't know.
I'm just extending my fingers.
Feeling your own boobs?
Here we go. Let's go before the big V comes in.
Yeah.
Iceman season ticket holder party.
Yes, it was at Swander on Monday night. Before I get to the skills part, I did get a chance to talk to Crom for a little bit at the end of it, and he did say that they are probably going to bring in a couple guys who are finishing up their college careers. Their senior year will be over, so then they will turn pro and come in for basically an extended tryout. So I don't know when that's going to happen, but hopefully soon. I also did get to talk to Ron Geary for a little bit. Didn't get too deep into anything, but did find out a couple interesting things. First off, we talked about the reciprocal agreement between the ECHL and the CHL that allows that Wild West feel of players coming and going.
I love it.
He said that when they voted on it last offseason, only 3 of the 23 ECHL owners actually voted to keep that agreement. And the 3 teams were the Icemen, the Comets, and Colorado. So everyone else was in favor of getting rid of it and allowing this movement from league to league. So because it was that overwhelming, a 20-3 vote, my guess is, regardless of how it went this season, it's not coming back. It's done. So this Wild West feel is probably going to remain going forward as long as the CHL is in existence, which may or may not be very long. I also talked to Geary shortly about the future of silly season and what's going to happen. He would not officially confirm or deny anything, as was to be expected.
He's a smart man.
Yeah. He said, quote, "There's nothing I can announce." Which to me says, there is something, it's just, if there was nothing, well, no, nothing's going on. But if it's, quote, nothing I can announce, that means something's happening. It's just not able to be announced yet. So I did talk to him a little more after he would not confirm or deny anything, specifically about Indy.
So you badgered him.
Owner
of the Evansville Iceman.
It was casual conversation.
With the same topic over and over. Yeah, my wife does that. It usually involves me taking the garbage out.
Yeah. But my impression after talking to him was Indy is going to happen. Not this coming season because they won't have anywhere to play yet. But I think in 13-14 it's going to happen. So
you sold me on that when you said that that arena, the Pepsi Coliseum, was getting the... major facelift, and all the dots seem to be lining up for that. So I believe you.
I don't think they would spend that much money to fix that building without thinking about an upgrade in their primary tenant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they would spend that much money, spend $100 million, and then bring the junior team back. In other news, Mr. Geary seems pretty convinced that the CHL is indeed sinking fast. He thinks that if they're around next season at all, there will only be 6 or 7 teams. So that, to me, indicates that there may be a few defections coming our way, too. So nothing that can be announced, quote-unquote, but something's happening. Where there's smoke, I think there will be fire once again.
I threw the Iceman ownership office under the bus in the last segment, but I love Ron Geary. He's a great guy, and you want to talk about business smarts. He moved us into the CHL because he knew the old AHA was not where it was at.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked out that deal so that we would even play 1 year in Swander before the Ford Center.
Which was a massive undertaking and a lot of red ink.
Yes. And he took it on the chin to get us in the CHL. And then he saw that it just wasn't going to work. He saw this before any of the rest of us saw this, and he got us in, wrote that big check, big seven-digit check to get us into the ECHL. So he's a smart guy, and I have nothing against him. It's just, sometimes you got to call it the way you see it in one small facet. And like you mentioned already, we don't know everything that's going on at headquarters. But when we see a shorthanded team for 3 weeks, we got to mention it. So.
I think they just can't afford to bring more players in because they're spending all their money on Patafi.
Oh, or maybe they're paying for Patafi fines.
Yeah, from cussing out lines.
Did you see that, speaking of which, the Islanders coach, assistant coach, got a 2-game suspension, I think, for chewing on a zebra.
Really?
Yep.
And zebras are endangered species.
They are indeed.
Especially around here.
So anyways, back to skills.
Skills. They got skills. At the season ticket holder party at Swander, there was a skills contest among the players. There were four different contests, and I'm going to see if you can figure out who won them. This is not Iceman trivia, but consider it a warm-up for your Etch-a-Sketch. All right, so the first, this is not the order they went in, but they did a shootout where three different players got three shots each, actually skating in on the goalie. And the three players who participated were Colin Redden, Oliver Gabriel, and Todd Robinson. Who do you think won that?
I'm going to go with Oliver Gabriel because I think the goalie knows all of Todd's moves.
Incorrect.
Dang it. Was it Todd?
It was Todd.
Yeah, dang it.
0-1. then they did rapid fire, which was a player standing in the slot taking passes from the corners and then quickly shooting them on net. The participants were Jake Overmeyer, Dan Tatro, and Phil Plant.
I'm going to go with Overmeyer. Dang it.
0-2. Tatro won that one.
Ah, I was going to go with Tatro.
Then they did hardest shot. Each player got three shots each. Dylan Clark stooped below the net, behind the net, and was holding the radar gun. Yeah. He was down
great.
Low enough.
One of the few guys that hasn't been injured all season, and we're going to put him with the radar gun behind the net.
Yeah, no kidding. The three players who participated in hardest shot were Dustin Hopfner, the new defenseman, Matt Krug, and Donnie Harris.
I'm going to say Donnie Harris just because of that goal he scored a few Saturdays ago.
That is correct.
Yes.
Donnie's top shot was 94 miles per hour.
Ooh.
Krug clocked in at 91 and Hopfner at 86. So you're 1-for-3. Let's see if you can get back to 500.
I told you I'm 33% right all the time.
The last one was the fastest skater race. There were two heat races, and then the two winners of the heat races squared off in the final. The four that were in the races were Patrick Kennedy, Dylan Clark, Jason Dale, and Derek St. Marie.
I am going to go with Jason Dale.
Correct.
Yep.
2-for-4. Not too bad. There was some controversy there with that, though, because Dale beat Dylan Clark in the final. In the heat races, Clark beat Kennedy and Dale beat St. Marie, but I do not think Dale beat St. Marie. I think St. Marie had him. But they called it too close to call, so then they made it a popularity contest and let the fans cheer for who won. And Dale's been here all season, so he won. But I think St. Marie actually won his heat, so Dale probably shouldn't have even been in the final. But he was my pick when they went into it, and they said they were doing fastest skater. I thought Jason Dale's going to win this. And he did not win his heat cleanly, but when it came down to the final, he beat Dylan Clark. So there you go. Unofficially, the fastest skater is Jason Dale. So you're 2-for-4, not bad.
Yeah. Well, and I could have gotten those other ones. I went with Overmeyer just as kind of the dark horse.
You know, you could have gone 4-for-4 had you gotten the other two right.
Yeah. Shut up. All right. Affiliations next season. Interesting topic for sure.
We will we'll get more into bringing back individual players and perhaps Rich Crum in the coming weeks. But for now, I wanted to talk a little bit about just the general topic of affiliations next season. As everyone knows, right now, this season, we have two affiliations, one with the Columbus Blue Jackets and Springfield Falcons, one with the St. Louis Blues and Peoria Rivermen. So last week, after Dayton and Karpowicz both got called up in the span of 12 hours, which perhaps skewed the results a little bit.
I was on the air with Brian Patafi at the time, and Dave Huff Facebooks me, and I told him he was a lie. I put bull crap. Like, I thought he was totally pulling my leg because how...
Just trying to get you to say something on the air.
And then I found out it was real, and it just blew me away. So good work, Dave Huff, there. He even beat you to the punch.
Yeah. That's where I saw it, yeah.
Yep.
They both got called up, so I posted the poll saying, what would you prefer to be our affiliation set up for next season. There were 32 people that replied. Now, granted, this was on the Maniac Asylum on Facebook, so this is about as unscientific as a poll can get. But I think 32 did give us enough of a representation to kind of get an idea, especially since the results were greatly weighed in certain directions. Out of 32 responses, 18 said Blues only, 5 said Blue Jackets only, and 5 said only one team but somebody else. 3 wanted to keep it where we are with the Blues and the Blue Jackets. 1, Brad Perkins, said to drop them both and just operate as an independent, and nobody said keep 2 but 2 different teams. So if you break that down a little more generically, individually, that just points out that there are a lot of Blues fans here.
Yeah.
But if you break it down in more general terms, out of 32 people, 28 want to see the Iceman affiliated with just one team. 3 want 2, and 1 person wants none. So I think the overwhelming results of this very unscientific poll are we should scale back to just one affiliate for next season to improve our roster stability and, as we've discussed, allow Crom to bring in one of his own goalies so that we have at least a little more consistency in net. So that's what my gut at this point is that's what's going to happen. I think we'll probably keep the Blues and drop the Blue Jackets as long as the Blues will still have us. And I think that would be the preferable way to go, too. If not keeping the Blues, then I do think I'm in the camp with those 28 out of 32 that I think having one affiliate is probably preferable. Granted, this season's been weird because of the lockout and everything, but I think at this point we need a little more stability next season because we can't risk having another season like this with all the craziness that's happened, because there will come a time when the shine is off of this franchise and we need to win games to keep putting butts in the seats.
I would like you to follow up with that poll with another poll that says, do you want 2 affiliates or do you want 1 affiliate with an increase in your season ticket prices? Because affiliates pay bills.
That's true.
That so is very true. Maybe you ought to go back to those 32 people and see if they're willing to put their money where for the 1 affiliate.
Remember, though, we have already gotten season ticket information for next season, and prices are going up.
Right.
So perhaps that is a precursor to scaling back to 1 affiliate. Perhaps they just want to pay more.
I think last week we talked a little bit about the affiliations, and I started doing prep work because I wanted to prove that a team with 2 affiliates has never won the championship, which I found wrong immediately.
You mean it was another
yes. So much for that argument. I think we can't limit what the lockout did. The lockout really messed everything up. The NHL lockout messed everything up. 2, I think Crom learned a lot, and Patafi and that whole coaching staff, how to deal as an affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they can limit how many players that they take. 2 per team,
yeah.
Instead of as many as they want to send down.
Right.
I think they were really excited about having a great hockey team with AHL talent and not paying the bill for it until it went up and down like crazy.
Yeah.
And that they were footing the bill whenever they got sent down. So I think they learned a lot there. So I think it's still manageable with 2 affiliations, without
especially
a lockout,
yeah.
And with the experience we've learned. And the one thing, how about Jet? I love having Jet on the Maniacs Asylum because she has the best information on that whole thing. And she talked about how crappy it has been dealing with St. Louis. So even within the affiliation setup, there are good teams to work for, and there are crappy teams to work for. And obviously, St. Louis / Peoria has done some things to really upset the management for the Icemen.
Yeah, so that may rub Blues fans the wrong way to hear that. But just because you like a team, and even if the NHL team is well run, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be a good affiliate.
Yep.
So yeah, that's something to consider. And there are a million things behind the scenes. That's kind of the theme this
yep.
week. There's a million things behind the scenes that happen that we are not privy to that would maybe fly in the face of what people would prefer. But ultimately, this is a business decision. You can't make this decision with your heart. You have to make this decision
yep.
with your brain. And thankfully, the people that are making this decision don't have Etch-a-Sketch brain.
I think we can be pretty sure that Columbus is not coming back. John Davidson, we talked about it off air last
yeah.
week, and then someone else brought it up on the Maniacs Asylum that John Davidson is not a farm out your development kind of guy.
He's,
so
he's apparently that, not a fan.
That'll be turned around. So, and I understand that. You're spending money that you don't need to spend when you can keep them in juniors or keep them in U.S. college. And if they graduate from both of those programs and they're not ready for your AHL team, you just let them go.
Right.
So they're not concerned with trying to develop the AA level talent.
Yeah. I think the biggest benefit for an NHL team of having an ECHL affiliate is you have a place to stock an extra goalie.
Yep.
But with forwards and defensemen, most of the time, if they get to the point where they're playing in the E, they're never going to make it. As much as we like to promote the fact that you could see future NHL players in the ECHL, it just doesn't happen very often. It happens, but it's fairly rare. So in the majority of cases, yeah, if you got a guy that you don't think enough of him to even keep him in Peoria, then you're probably not going to end up seeing him in your NHL club. That's just how it is. So, yeah, there are pros and cons to even having an ECHL affiliate. And it is going to be really interesting to see what the Icemen do for next season. And it's not entirely their decision either. Like you said,
yep.
Columbus may just say, no, we don't want to have an affiliate. And that leaves us down to one by default. And then the question becomes, do we want to stick with the Blues and do they want to stick with us? And also, what other options are out there? Are there other teams that have an affiliation deal that comes up for grabs? And then maybe you have your choice of a few. And a lot of people would like to see Nashville, too.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see that as well. But the problem also is, where are these teams located? There's always teams looking to send players somewhere.
Right.
But if you're picking up the tab for the player,
yeah.
Are you going to take Manchester, the Kings,
yeah.
That are up on the East Coast, or Albany River Rats?
Right.
That's a lot of travel costs to bring those teams, to bring players down from those clubs.
And while we talk about the bottom line and not wanting to pony up the money, that's part of the consideration here, too,
yep.
is maybe things aren't ideal with the Blues affiliation, but St. Louis and Peoria are close.
Yes.
So that really cuts down on travel costs.
It
it's a lot cheaper to send a player to Peoria or to bring a player here from Peoria than bringing Nathan Moon back from Springfield. So there's a lot of things to consider, and it's not just about what happens on the ice.
I think I said still two affiliations, and one being Toronto.
Yeah, you would like that, wouldn't you?
I would love that, indeed. So, is it Iceman Trivia?
No.
What? Am I missing something? Oh, didn't see that at the bottom of the sheet. All right, back to our honor of the week, or in the situation with Drew Campbell, in the infamy of the week, Real Men of Genius.
All right, this one is actually a tribute to my mom, believe it or not, but the feature is called Real Men of Genius, so the song is about a man of genius, but this is in reality a tribute to my mom, who is the worst puck chucker in the history of Chuck-a-Puck. Let's just say that there have been multiple times in the past when people sitting behind her have been the victims of errant pucks. So here we go, Real Men of Genius in tribute to my mom.
Iceman Insights presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Chuck-a-Puck Total Failure Guy.
Mr. Chuck-a-Puck Total Failure Guy.
When it's time for Chuck-a-Puck, nobody in the building is safe. Not even the people behind you, or at the concession stands.
You might want to put on a helmet!
We'd say you throw like a girl, but the 6-year-old in the Hello Kitty shirt next to you just won herself an iPad.
I think she cheated!
You had 10 pucks to chuck, and not one of them was anywhere close to winning. In fact, we can only find 4 of them.
Check the restrooms!
So we salute you, oh tickler of the target. You keep on chuckin', and we'll keep on dodgin'.
Mr. Chuck-a-Puck, total failure guy!
IcemanManiac.com, WYIR, Evansville, Indiana.
Now Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
And we're back here on 96.9 WYIR, Music Bomb. Shocker, Dirty D, Iceman Insights, your Evansville Iceman. We love them. 4 home games left coming up. But first, Iceman Trivia.
Wait a minute. Before we get to the trivia, I think we gotta throw our live studio audience under the bus. When we come back out of a break, our studio audience is supposed to applaud. Very good.
There we go.
Thank you.
Well, if we want them to applaud, we need to hold up the applause sign.
That's true, yeah. We got to get Sabrina Gardner in here to hold up the sign asking for applause.
There we go. All right. Work on that next week.
So Iceman Trivia, the Dirty D has now lost 3 in a row, down to 3-9. So you're only right a quarter of the time in this realm.
Yeah.
This one is going to be interesting. It's kind of tough. There are actually five. It's a five-part answer, but I think four of them are easy. With less than 3 weeks left in the regular season, the Icemen only have five players who have scored 10 or more goals. Name them. I think four of them you'll get. The fifth one might be difficult.
All right. We've got Beaulieu.
Correct. He's got 22.
Kevin Baker.
Correct. He's got 18.
Dylan Clark.
Correct. He has 15.
Max him out next year.
Yes, I agree.
In money. Give him anything he wants. Give him my wife, please.
Let the record say that is an official offer.
Nathan Moon.
Correct. 16.
Moon.
All right, that's the four out of the five that I thought you would get. The fifth one's going to be a little more.
All right. I believe the fifth one, without looking, I'm going through my mental Rolodex really quick, but I think he just got over it. 2 weekends ago, with his 10th or 11th goal, Jason Dale.
Correct. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got 12 now. So there is another one on the brink. Patrick Kennedy has 9. Tatro has 8. Todd Robinson only has 6, even though he's top 10 in the league in scoring overall. That's almost all assists. So very good, Mr. Benny.
That
breaks your 3-week losing streak, and it was a tough one.
That just goes to show you that the Icemen are going to win in Fort Wayne tonight. Because my record seems to go with their record.
That's true.
So, well, it's going to happen.
That might come to an end.
let's try to be a little bit positive around here.
Bah humbug.
Brian Patafi, Tweet of the Week.
As we mention every week, you can follow Iceman Athletic Trainer and Weekly Amusement Park guest Brian Patafi on Twitter. His handle is bpatafi. That's bpatafie. This one goes back a few weeks to when the Icemen were in South Carolina. He tweeted, quote, "They are very hospitable here in the South. I called the front desk and said, I got a leak in my sink. They said, go right ahead."
Yep. There you go.
And our live studio audience just swallowed his own tongue.
Upcoming games.
Well,
tonight, Fort Wayne.
Tonight, Fort Wayne.
Sucks.
Yes. At 6:30 tonight, the Icemen go and play the Comets. Then it's a day off, and then 3-3. So 4 games in 5 days, which is exactly what the doctor ordered when you're already shorthanded on skaters. Friday, the Icemen host the Greenville Road Warriors. That is Disney night. I think they're giving away Disney on Ice tickets to kids that are come dressed in princess costume or something
is
like that.
Is that true?
I think so.
First 100.
Wow. I think it's the first 100 kids that come dressed as a Disney princess get free tickets.
Too bad I already bought mine.
Oh. And then it's also Youth Jersey Giveaway Night, the second and final time this season. First 1,000 kids, I believe, get a free jersey. Then on Saturday, the 16th, which is not St. Patrick's Day, at 7:15, the Icemen host the Kalamazoo Wings, even though it's not St. Patrick's Day. It is the night of the St. Paddy's Day celebration with a post-game jersey auction for special green-ish jerseys.
Do they have special jerseys?
Apparently, yeah.
Awesome.
That's what they say. We have not seen a picture of them yet, but someone said online that Aaron Jens was saying he has seen them and they look great.
Awesome.
So they're Aaron Jens approved for everyone that was wondering.
Those Star Wars ones were fantastic.
And yes, as spoiled here last week, there will be green ice. It has now been confirmed. Terry Ficarelli mentioned it in this week's weekly release.
I believe the sponsor of that is Reross.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that would make sense. And then, yeah, the final of the 3-3 is Sunday at 4 o'clock in Fort Wayne. And with a shorthanded roster, that's going to be a really rough game. My question for you, since we play 4 games in 5 days, is... is this finally when we get to see Kevin Moore start a game in goal? Remember, James Reed is probably the number one at this point, but he's still coming back from an injury, and he hasn't played much this season. So playing 4 and 5 nights might be a tall order for him.
It's what we did to Paul Dayton for months.
That's true. But that's apples and oranges. So Kevin Moore has been here for over a month now, and he has been the backup for 11 games, but he has not yet seen game action. So if it was your call, would you play Kevin Moore one of these four games?
You know, I'm not sure. Obviously, safety is foremost, so if Reed says he's too exhausted to go in Fort Wayne at 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, then yeah, you go with Kevin Moore. But I haven't seen enough of him in practice. I haven't been over to practice to see how he looks. The one thing you don't want to do when you got the reserves up here, if he's not going to be confident in that net, he's going to get hurt. And when you got guys firing pucks at him. So it's all just a matter of how coach has a feel for him and how Reed's feeling. But if Reed's healthy, I may just run him if he's the best option for the club.
I think that's probably what the case is going to be. I think if Crom didn't feel comfortable riding him, he wouldn't have traded for him. No, we don't know what he traded for him. It might have been a bucket of pucks, but still, I think...
Hopefully he didn't trade my rights.
Maybe he traded your wife. He's trying to unload her. I don't know. I agree. I think we'll probably see Reed in all four of them unless he just says, no, I can't go.
So that's what I think as well. And the whole Kevin Moore thing, again, we talk about development, that a lot of stuff you have to do, you have to invest time and energy and training into these guys to bring them around for next year in the future. And there's nothing wrong with having a guy on the roster if he never plays a game, if you're looking forward to the future. So if he's still getting better in practice every week, then that's what you do. And I think goalies are different. Because goalies are different to begin with, but you can put a defenseman out there, pair him up with your top D-man, give him six D-man minutes, so 8 minutes a game, and he's going to survive. But when you've got to be the goalie and you're getting that 6 ounce rubber puck shot at you, if you are not confident, if you are not prepared, you are going to get hurt, and things, it's going to be scary.
Things can unravel in a hurry too when you're on a team that's shorthanded and losing and giving up 35-40 shots a game.
I think even if you're playing on a good team and a guy comes over the blue line and fires a shot 60 miles an hour, gets up a little bit high, you're not ready for it. Yeah, you get the collarbone or under the throat protector. It's just a different position at that goalie position, and you've got to have 100% confidence that this guy can go out there and do his job.
Yeah, if you're so nervous that you're wearing two cups, then...
Yeah.
Got to protect the old yam bag.
Just don't say the V word again. No. Not the V word.
Vendetta?
Yes, exactly. Oh, that was an old joke from the old headset days. Yeah. But a bump. Final thoughts.
No one else knows what we're talking about.
Yes.
Well, Stephen Rickard does.
Stephen Rickard That's and his true. Testicles do.
Oh, boy. Oh, it's gone downhill. This is the third segment when things get weird.
Well, this one's been weird from the beginning. Well, so
every show, I think.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, I did want to mention that last Wednesday on March 6th, Stompin' Tom Connors died at the age of 77. And if you don't know who Stompin' Tom Connors is, you actually do. He is a Canadian folk singer who performed the hockey song, which is probably more popularly known as the Good Old Hockey Game, which is played at a lot of Iceman games. I used to play it at Swander every game, and now it is our intro and outro music for Iceman Insights. So, he died last Wednesday at the age of 77. He was a huge star in Canada, released 61 albums, and was even honored on a Canadian postage stamp. So it was a day of mourning north of the border last Wednesday. But I thought it was neat. His family asked that in his memory, if you want to do something, make a donation to your local food bank. So I thought this was an appropriate time to just mention. If you want to do that, you can go to tristatefoodbank.org. That is a great great charity here locally in the Evansville area. They take care of people that need food. Go to there, and you can find out how you can donate if you want to do something in Stompin' Tom's memory.
Now, do I understand correctly he got the nickname Stompin' Tom Connors because he would actually stomp his cowboy boot, and he ruined stages. He
really?
Would stomp so hard that he ruined stages. So he was forced, in his early years, he had to bring his own plywood. To put under his feet for when he was stomping. And he would actually stomp holes right through the plywood during the show. And then he, later in life, I guess about 10 years ago or something, he auctioned off some of those stomping Tom Connor stomp hole plywoods and made $15,000-$20,000.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm sure he signed
Canadian,
it or whatever else.
Which is, worth about $9 depending on the exchange.
So, but yeah, I was listening to a lot of Canadian hockey talk last week. Well, every week, but obviously that was the topic of discussion.
Huh.
Was everyone reliving that? So, yeah, he earned that stomping nickname.
Huh. I also wanted to mention this is our 20th episode, believe it
or
not.
I can't believe we survived last week.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we might not survive this week. Every week we push the envelope a little more. But we're having a lot of fun with it, and we are very happy that people are enjoying it. So just wanted to, now that we're at 20, thank everybody that continues to listen. Tell your friends. And again, if you're listening on the air on WYIR, you can also catch up on missed episodes of Iceman Insights on IcemanManiacs.com. Every episode we've done is available as a free download as a podcast. It's MP3 format, so you can listen to it on a computer or an iPhone or whatever. Pretty much any electronic device anymore will play an MP3. So, and they are free.
We also, along those lines, have to thank Andy Fuller and Youth Incorporated,
yes.
WYIR, who is graciously donated this 2.5-hour segment for just a bunch of nonsense and hockey talk. But they've been working with youth in the tri-state area for 22 years, coffee shop, music venue. They've always targeted rock and roll and artists, punk rockers, Mohawks, that kind of thing. And somehow or another, we fit into that category so we can do our show. So thank you, 96.9 WYIR, letting us do this all for free and using their equipment.
Yeah, and hosting at the Wired Coffee House. And,
what's the address providing here? You Coca-Colas.
Yeah.
And me a lot of coffee.
Well, so. I got to keep all liquefied so that I can talk for an hour and a half nonstop, because that's what Patapi hears. every time I run into Patapi, he's giving me garbage about how I never shut up.
Good.
He met my wife Amanda at the season ticket holder party at Swander on Monday. First time they've met. And he shook her hand and asked her how she ever gets a word in edgewise because I never stop talking.
I love it.
I resemble that remark.
There you
I'm
go.
Not the, this isn't a one-man show. The Etch-A-Sketch there contributes every now and then, too.
If anyone... no one will be surprised by this, but in the studio audience, our wives are not here, nor have they ever been.
No.
So I think my wife, I think, terms it a vacation.
I think Amanda was here once.
Oh, yeah, Christmas. Yeah, and Evan was here, too. Yeah. So that was a fun one.
Yeah, that was the day we recorded our Real Men
of
Genius spots.
Oh, my goodness. That was a long day.
Yes, it was. But it was fun.
It was fun. So, we got Fort Wayne tonight, a couple of games this weekend. Should be a lot of fun. Check out your Iceman. Is there anything else we got?
Thank Paul Higgs for joining us.
Yes, thank you very much.
It's been a wonderful studio. There you go.
Yeah,
good job.
You know, he's trained already, too.
All right, we're going to invite him back next week.
Definitely.
And maybe a few of his friends. Do you have friends, Paul?
No.
No, he does
just
not.
Just family.
Have just family that didn't have a choice in the matter.
They're
working. He is Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, vice president of Offbeat Shenanigans. He joins us every week here on 96.9 WYIR, the Music Bomb, Dirty D, and we'll be up here in a little bit with Brian Patapi. Thank you much for listening.
We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game.